Started.
Welcome everybody to NASH's webinar. Tonight we're profiling Kate Birch. She's an RSHRM from North America. CCH, GMT, co-founder and past director of Free and Healthy Children International. She will share her knowledge on the International Council of Homeopathy. Everybody still hear me? Okay. About the presentation, Kate will share information about the international status of homeopathy from the perspective of the International Council of Homeopathy, the ICH. The work of the ICH will be discussed as well as the various platforms for communication. She'll go over projected goals and the future of the ICH. She'll review the two projects that she has introduced. And one is the development of pro-homeoprophylaxis position, the statement, and number two, a resource document of the various levels of successful integration of homeopathy into a national healthcare system. Okay. And Kate's a Minnesota-based homeopath. She's registered with North American Society of Homeopaths since 1996. She's certified in classical homeopathy by the Council for Homeopathic Certification. She's a past vice president of North American Society of Homeopaths and has served as a North American liaison to the International Council of Homeopathy since 2008. She has a busy family practice and lectures locally and internationally on homeopathy for infectious diseases, children's health, and vaccine damage. Through international connections and examining the vaccine paradigm, she has worked locally and internationally to expand awareness of vaccine damage and homeoprophylaxis. As a result of her participation with ICH, she has had the opportunity to understand the status of homeopathy in nations around the world and has helped to forge relationships and share new ideas on how to go forward with political and legal issues. And we're all going through those right now. So with that, Kate, it's all yours.
Great. Thanks for introducing me. And I see there's a whole bunch more people who have joined on. And I just want to add a little bit to that in that as I was putting this PowerPoint together, I was thinking to myself, prior to putting it together, I was thinking, what am I going to talk about? Like, what do I know about anything? But then as I was putting it together, I was like, wow, I have been involved in a lot of different projects and seen a lot of different things. And these are all just parts of my brain and thinking maybe other people are knowing this too, but they aren't. So I'm happy to share. And Myra, how do the Q&A situation happen? There is a chat box. So if there's a question people have and they want to enter in the chat box, I can see that and I can just attend to the question like that as we go.
Okay. We can do that. Let's repeat it for the recording.
Repeat what? Oh, the question. Yes, because you can't see the chat box. Yep. And just a little bit more about me is that I graduated homeopathic school, the Pacific Academy, in 1994 and joined NASH in 1996, and my member number is 49, I think, so that was in the very early beginnings of NASH, and I knew Eric who founded NASH, and it was after, I joined NASH in 2005 when NASH was looking like, somebody says she can't hear anything, press on the phone icon. Okay, good. When it looked like it was going to collapse and I thought, oh no, I love this organization, I'm going to run for vice president. And so that's what I did, and during that time, and many of those board members are still actually board members of NASH. I jump-started about 10 different projects, which I think are still going on, and I'm happy to see that. And I had no idea where I would go in my own life from that. But during that time, I was also planning a trip around the world and just happened to realized that I could stop in Heidelberg at the first ICH meeting, and so it just kind of started from there. And let me just see where is this. So the International Council for Homeopathy is an international professional platform representing professional homeopaths and the practice of homeopathy. It consists of 31 professional associations, and I think the number is actually 35. That website has not been updated, from 28 different countries and 6 continents. And I, through this networking and dialogue between the member organizations, we have been able to engage in promotion and evaluation of the status of homeopathy around the world. So just a little bit of a background. The European Central Council of Homeopaths, or it's also called European Council for Classical Homeopathy, I think that was its original name, started to be a collaborative of all the homeopathic organizations within the EU continent. And under that umbrella, there was, under Stephen Gordon, and I'm going to talk about him shortly, there was all the homeopathic organizations were able to have a voice in any EU meeting, and particularly EU meetings with regards to healthcare. So they are professional homeopaths, much like those of us in NASH. So we know in the United States there's all different member organizations. The HANDP, that's the naturopathic, the HNA, Homeopathic Nurses Association, the AIH, that's for medical doctors, all these membership organizations covering a different either credentialed or uncredentialed body. Well, the ECCH holds organizations very similar to NASH that are organizations that oversee and support the practice of unlicensed medical practitioners or unlicensed homeopaths, we can say that, or in states or countries where there's no licensure, the best legal avenue for them to be able to practice. So it also covers the Heilpraktikas in Germany, which it is a legal status. Different countries have different, My screen is still there?
Yes.
Okay. It's just fiddling with the image. Julie says she's not getting audio. Please connect your telephone image. So neither the European Commission or European Parliament have produced any position statement on who may or may not practice homeopathy. And we are going to go through various countries so we can talk about what's happening in different countries. The ECCH is a member of the Brussels-based European Public Health Alliance and a stakeholder in the group Eurocam and in a new organization of the ECHAMP, European Coalition for Homeopathic and Anthroposophical Medical Products. To this. We just had our 2017 meeting in Athens, and so these are the faces of the representatives from different parts of the world, and I can't remember all of their names or all the countries, but I can tell a little bit about them when we get to this page. So this is a map off of the ECCH website. So in addition to Europe, the ICH has members, we're USA, Kenya, New Zealand, Canada, and Japan. And Canada We haven't seen anything from them for a while. We don't have a rep, I'm not sure. But Australia withdrew because there's a lot happening in Australia, and I'll talk about that shortly. And we have in applicant status Malaysia and Ghana. And these are, Turkey was just accepted. We can see it's highlighted on there. It's actually not a member of the EU anyways. And Israel is in application, which again, Israel, the country is not a member of the EU, but there are homeopathic organizations in all these other countries here. And for some reason, it feels like my no. Okay, so I'll just talk a little bit about, so the Society of Homeopaths is the longest, is the oldest standing homeopathic organization in Europe, and that's in England. And the Society of Homeopaths is what NASH was based on. Registered with the Society of Homeopaths is our RSHOM, is our initials. And when Eric first created NASH, he became, Miranda, I believe, I don't know, had shared with him the bylaws and the constitution of the Society of Homeopaths, and that's how NASH was created. One by one, each of these countries have developed one or more homeopathic organizations. And some of these, I'll come back to this image later when we get to some of the work that the ICH has done. You'll notice that France is not a member of the ECCH. That's because only MDs can practice homeopathy in France, and there are no unlicensed homeopaths practicing there. There's, I believe this is Australia, Hungary, just not yet. I think this is Slovenia. We have Croatia. Yeah. Germany, Poland, Belgium, Italy, can't remember where this one is, Finland and Norway, those countries there. So I'll come back to some of what I know about these countries when I get there. So the areas of work for the ECCH are regulatory issues, so monitoring what's happening with regulation about the practice of homeopathy in those particular countries, looking at education, and they do have an guidelines for homeopathic education, which is published in 2011. This was revised, it was published before, and I think that NANI works a little bit with these guidelines too, the North American NANI Consortium, I don't know what it is, Homeopathic Educators, whatever that acronym is. The ECCH also recognizes the German and French Pharmacopoeia, which are like the HPUS. There is in the process of creating the European Homeopathic Pharmacopoeia, and they have a law, the European Union of Pharmaceutical Legislation Directive, whatever that is, says that single homeopathic remedies proof of efficacy is not required. So this is a major standing point for homeopathy throughout Europe. I know that there were pushes, and we haven't heard the last word from the FDA, but all the homeopathic remedies that are just single as opposed to a combination do not need to have any proving or scientific studies about them to be still on the market. There was some issue when Guaran, which is in France, that the French Pharmacopeia wanted to limit the pharmacy to only, the remedies that have provings that were grandfathered in, like no new remedies coming in, and the French Pharmacopeia could then press upon the European Union to limit the Pharmacopeia, but that has not happened. Nothing like that's happened. And then another thing that the ECCH is looking out for is research, and there's a Homeopathic Research Institute. This is the website here. They've had 3 conferences so far. The last one was in Malta, and they've really worked hard to publish all the research that's happening around Europe. They do have, a lot of people say there's no research in homeopathy. They do have a database with over 1,000 research studies on there. That you can look to find. Okay, so let's go here. So the man behind the ICH is Stephen Gordon. This is a picture of him with Luc Montagnier at the National Homeopathic Conference in Virginia. I believe that took place in 2011. And he was one of the founding members of the Society of Homeopaths. He was on the board for 19 years. He is the creator of the ECCH and of ICEH in 2007. So ECCH was 1990. And he worked and traveled all over Europe, creating relationships with political leaders, and was the voice of homeopathy in all aspects of the profession. And we lost him this year. He passed away in July, and we were actually at the Athens conference and, held a little space for him. He was dying of gallbladder cancer. Anyways, I really want to honor Stephen, too, and maybe hopefully inspire you guys. He just went forth with blind faith, and all of these ideas and everything that's happened as far as all these documents in the EU and the status of homeopathy in the European continent is because of Stephen Gordon. And so again, as I was putting this together, I do not know my trajectory, but certainly all the time of being on the ICH has enabled me to gain vision of different places for homeopathy around the world. So one of the things that came out of the European community was One Vision, One Voice conference that was held in October of 2010. And if you want to Google this, this is a little 12-minute video which is a conclusion of that weekend seminar, which was really a branding, an interactive branding conference, and led by professional branding, people who helped, like some, Gap and McDonald's and Nike make marketing campaigns. And it was just really interesting to see all the people there and all the different, and actually this came out of the massive attack against homeopathy throughout the UK and the sort of floundering status of all the different homeopathic organizations in the UK, that none of them talked to each other and none of them collaborated, and they all were, well, we do homeopathy better than they do, and they don't, so anytime there was anybody against homeopathy, none of these organizations could come together under one unified voice. And this was, a little bit that same history happened here in America. NASH formed. A year later, CHC formed, and there was already a division. And then there were the MD homeopaths. I went to the rededication of the Hahnemann Monument in 2000, 100-year rededication, led by the I-C-H. No, the, let's see. AIH, led by the AIH, which at that time, it was the very first conference that the AIH allowed non-medical homeopaths to attend. We sat in the back and we weren't allowed to speak at the conference. And Richard Pitt was there, I remember him, Miranda was there, some of these early homeopaths, and then, you know, all these organizations in the United States were still fighting, and it really wasn't until the HAA was formed, and I was one of the seats sat for Nash on the HAA, that all of our organizations came together. So that was 2005. So UK was about 5 years later. And now the Homeopathic Action Alliance, HAA in the United States, seems to be a very good sounding board for all the different organizations to say what it is that they have to say with each other. So another project that came out of the One Vision, One Voice was the branding market Homeopathy Work for Me, which was, this is Misha Norlin and his son Manny Norlin talking with Prince Charles in the UK. Manny was in marketing before he became a homeopath. Now he's the director of the Devon School of Homeopathy. But when this market branding thing came forth, they put forth this brand of homeopathy. And if you go to this website, you will find how you can purchase yourself a packet, a branding packet, if you want to have, you know, all your brochures, all your, and you can get listed on their directory. Anyways, go to the website and find out about them. Now, on the other side, we have the European Committee of Homeopaths, and these guys represent all the medical doctors. So that's like the AIH here in the United States. So there's the European Committee of Homeopaths, and they are affiliated on the larger... Okay, so one document that they've created was the International Proving Guidelines. This is an interesting document if you want to learn about the standards with which provings should be held to. There are international guidelines, and anybody doing any provings, these documents were put together with consultation from some leading homeopaths and different organizations around there. So the ECCH speaks to LIGA, which is the international body, much like ICH is to ECCH. So the international body of non-medically trained homeopaths is ICH, and LIGA is the medical one. So they created a document that went to the World Health Organization, which is, where is it, down here at the bottom of safety issues in the preparations of homeopathic medicines. Document here is sort of an international document that pharmacies then are to use to help make medicines like that. Drug regulatory authorities. So the, I don't know what more to say there. So we'll talk a little bit about these ICH meetings, and then I'm going to go back to that map and look at what I've learned from. So the inaugural meeting was in 2007. That was Harry Vanderzee organized this conference. Celebrating Lynx, which is the magazine that's published out of the Netherlands for 20 years. And this meeting had all the world-renowned homeopaths there, Sankran and Jeremy and Mazimo and Jan Scholten were the main ones, and then there were some others. I even think, was George Vitolkis there? He might have been. That Harry's idea was to bring the homeopaths together, and they sat elbow distance apart from each other in the final panel. None of them wanted to agree with either one of them, which is a funny thing of homeopaths. And now, interestingly enough, this fall, there's, it's called Homeopathy One, there's a conference in Bruges where these same people are coming together with their elbows and arms linked together. you know, really coming together to put this one voice together. Yes. Okay. So this inaugural meeting put together the foundation of the ICH. It was sort of documented in the UK, and you know, all the legal documents were within according to English law. In 2009, so always the ICH meeting was tacked on with an international conference so that attendees of the conference and people would come together. So in 2009, there was an education symposium where the directives for education guidelines were discussed. These were voted on and were approved. And this was the second edition. I think there was one that was made 8 years before or whatever, so it was brought forth and revamped. And I was a part of that symposium, and again, they had education teachers from all over the world at that symposium discussing all the different pieces about it. 2011, Virginia, so those guidelines were discussed, and really can't remember too many more things. The 2013 meeting was at the HRI conference in Barcelona, and even though I was at that conference, I got lost and I couldn't find the place where the meeting was, so I missed that meeting. But they created a document of research platforms for ICH to get behind, and with that work, ICH has a whole listing of homeopathic research access on the website, too. So in 2014, I think that's the last time I saw Basil, if he's still online here, because that conference was a full day or a day and a half about the regulatory status of homeopathy in each country, and doing a workshop on how to, you know, what's happening with laws, where are they in process, you know, which are the bodies that have created laws and not, and it's actually from that conference that I have information. I want to go back to this map so we can just see a little bit of what's happening around Europe. So in England, they have what's called common law there. And unless it's deemed dangerous, anybody can do anything and there's no law against it. That's how homeopathy was able to practice in England. And then according to, you know, all these anti-homeopathy groups, and they were trying to marginalize all alternative healing modalities, there was big pressure set against the parliamentary body to regulate every or illegalize every one of these alternative healing modalities that didn't have rigorous science and double-blind proving, you know, research saying that it was effective. And one of the pieces that came out of that bash against alternative modalities. Well, there's two things. One was a hearing in the House of Parliament, and I'll talk about that in a minute. And then there was an advertising, I can't remember the name of the organization, but they went around and said that you cannot say on your website homeopathy treats asthma unless you have, you know, the relapse. So you can't say any modality is good for or treats, or you can use it for any of these conditions. And there's a whole group of people that went around on their spare time scouring the internet, looking at websites, and then submitting them to this advertising agency, and you know, them making fines and different things against legislative issues, or not legal issues, against, until all those websites changed. So in the response to, then there was also a hearing that was done at the House of Parliament, and I can't reiterate all the players that were on the panel, except for they were, many of them were these anti-homeopathy people, which these same people got their foot in Australia, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute. And they've tried to in Japan. They're the Sense About Science, the Good Thinking Society, the D.C. Cole Calhoun is a leader of these. He is a professor at the University College of London. Edward Ernst. There is a few other people like that that all put, got a think tank together, and it's like, how can we destroy homeopathy around the world? So in light of these pressures, and in light of the results of that parliamentary hearing, which was not favorable towards homeopathy, there was a, Manny Norland got together in 2 days' notice a petition of 100,000 signatures and delivered on the doorstep of the House of Parliament, and that the findings from that hearing did not get put into law. But the other side of it was that they created, again, I'm sorry, it's a registration of professional bodies. So given that the Parliament didn't want to regulate any medical professions, they said if you have professional bodies and all of your members, practitioners, register with those bodies, then we will, then your register will be a part of the nation's registry. And it was some $30,000 fee to sign up for this. The Society of Homeopaths did it. A lot of organizations, acupuncturists, Reiki professionals, different people did it. And so now, because there's these professional bodies, what that did is it tightened up the profession, making sure that the practitioners were getting regulated with their professional body. And then the professional body being a part of the government regulatory system, then it took the pressure off and there was no longer any individual persecution of those people. And so I think the anti-homeopathy people have gotten bored or tired, or the strength of the homeopaths have gotten a lot stronger. It's not as strong as it was there. So let's talk about Belgium. Belgium passed a law in 2010. This was the second law. They passed a law that, based on the findings that came out of that parliamentary hearing that was backed by the anti-homeopathy people, where they said that homeopathy is nothing more than placebo, Belgium passed a law that only doctors could practice homeopathy because they're the only ones that know how to use placebo, which is the most ridiculous law I've ever heard of. And since that law was passed, there has been a group of the schools got shut down, all the non-medical homeopaths put their sign away. There's a few that were just diehards, and they still are practicing, and they're still just doing it. I was always introducing at the ICH conferences health freedom concepts, which are new concepts for Europe. And I think since health freedom has been in the United States now for like 16 years, and some states have health freedom laws, and it's certainly the platform that NASH stands behind, we all think, oh, it's normal, you know, but it's not normal in the EU. But I have always put forth that. And with the information of the health freedom platform, they've been able to petition the government that you're denying the consumers access to the people. And because they have a petition that's had a hearing or hasn't had a hearing yet, the original law that was banning them from practicing cannot be applied because the law, anyways, Belgian government is different because they have six different governments within the country of Belgium and none of them talk with each other. So it's kind of in a stalemate. Germany has the Heilpraktikas. They were legislated into practice in the 90s, and they have very well accepted. They're covered by the National Health. Few other. So, what's this country next to Germany? Portugal. Around 2000, many countries were trying to pass, you know, CAM therapy laws, and it all became paralyzed on many different levels, and certain other things needed to shift. Portugal passed the law that they now have within the government, a section of the government that oversees homeopathic education. You have to go to the government-run homeopathic schools within the country, and then you can practice and you're given your license to practice. Now, the gap in this law is, what about those people that move into the country from another country and were trained there, or those other people like we have, you know, that went to 10 different international speakers and have developed a repertoire of education from these speakers? You know, there's no room for them to practice within that. There. In Spain, there is regulation for homeopathy. You can practice, but it's not, there's no astringent regulation. Basically, you just register with the government and then you can practice. In Italy, they have, it's a part of the national healthcare. They have homeopathic clinics. They have a lot of research in the universities in homeopathy in Italy. Switzerland was illegal. 2005, they made homeopathy illegal for children in Switzerland. You could not go to any homeopath. Then there was a study done, and I don't have access to the name of that study, that showed that homeopathy was the most effective system of medicine for children. And this was sent to the government, I don't know, 2011 or 12, 14, something like that. And upon the basis of this study, the government changed direction and completely said that it was the preferred system of medicine for children, and they made it available like that. Within, I think, around the same time, there were also like five or six different homeopathic organizations that didn't talk. And because it was so difficult in the country, they decided, some of them were, you know, licensed medical doctors or licensed in another modality or however, but they finally came together and wrote an educational certification program and how to tier people in. I know Basil presented at the in London on standards and competencies that were created in Ontario, similar. you know, how to grandfather in homeopaths that have this kind of education, what the college is. I think the Switzerland model is very similar to that one. That I know in Turkey, I've been teaching in Turkey the last couple years, and they outlawed homeopathy there, unless you're a medical doctor. So even though there's a homeopathic organization which is now a part of the ECCH, this is a non-licensed homeopath, they do not have any legal standing in Turkey, and homeopathic remedies are illegal in Turkey. You cannot import them or ship them in the country. They're all smuggled in. So they've got a little bit. Serbia is the same thing. You cannot bring homeopathic remedies into Serbia. So a lot of the access to different countries, Norway, you can ship remedies in, but you cannot ship medicating potencies in because you cannot ship alcohol across the border. Nozos are illegal to transport from outside of the EU into the EU, but from within the EU, nozos can pass around. In France, nozos are illegal. In Germany, the Heilpraktiker cannot give a nozo to a patient, but the patient can call Helios and order the nozo there. There's really kind of crazy laws all around and inconsistency on every level. In Serbia, they've relied on energetics, like the frequencies of the remedies, because they cannot get the remedies in the country, and frequencies seem to be working fine. In Bulgaria, there's a huge homeopathic community there. They've had people there and international conferences. And I know in Israel, too, there's a number of homeopaths there. Sorry, back to this country. In Croatia, there's a number there. I did speak in Bosnia one time. They have a pretty good homeopathic community there, but no organization. A lot of these countries in the Balkan Peninsula are very poor. There's no money to belong to any organization. So let's just get to back to this list. So that's a little overview of the regulatory status. So in Kenya, I know a little information. There's a couple schools there that were competing. At some point, the Kenyan government made homeopathy illegal, and then they sort of, after many discussions, opened it up. Within the country, like in Tanzania, where Jeremy is, they've got schools starting from the ground up teaching homeopaths. If you ever want to go to Africa, Tanzania or Kenya and Ghana are the main countries that have a lot of homeopathy in them, and there's great opportunities there. In Australia, what's happened is those quacks from England got their hands on the legislative body there, along with their mandatory vaccine laws, and now they've passed a law that you can't speak out against the government. So all the freedom of speech has been erased, so you can't even petition. So now they're trying to make homeopathy illegal there. They passed some study based on the study that all the stuff that they did perform in England that then failed, they redid in Australia, and it's succeeding, unfortunately. That's why Australia withdrew from ICH, because their organization, initially, when I first joined ICH, Australia was the first country that had a regulatory body that saw homeopathy from the state of the government, overseeing the education, overseeing the registration of all the practitioners that went to the government-approved education. And all of that has been dismantled and erased. So, and initially we looked to Australia for guidance for the organization, you know, what they had done And New Zealand was similar, and they too, the government started dismantling all the work that was put forth towards, you know, the legal practice of homeopathy. So hopefully that's not going to happen in this country, but you never know what crazy people can get in there. So I was not present in the Ireland conference. And at 2000, we started talking about going to the WHO to become an NGO, non-government organization, at the WHO in 2011. And in 2016, we really were ramping it up. I think Stephen did go one year. I think he went in 2015 under U.S. Chiropractic Association just as a guest, but not able to speak. No NGO status there, but because, and even at that, the WHO has been talking about microbial resistance to antibiotics for a long time and infectious disease problems. They put out a call. There were many papers submitted on homeopathy. ICH submitted a position statement on that, and there was not, no changes happened there. But anyways, we've determined in order to be become an NGO that we had set up the initial business papers under the wrong format. And so actually the last year and a half has been set upon changing that internal reorganization. But then with Stephen relinquishing his contributions and his connections, and we've determined that also with Brexit leaving the EU, that the organization needs to be reestablished in Europe, and they have a possibility in the Netherlands, which since our meeting in April, that somebody is supposed to be looking at it. About that. Okay, and 2019 to be announced. So what's our time? We're doing this for an hour, right? Okay.
Yeah.
So just a little bit more.
You might
about
leave 10 minutes for questions and answers.
Yes, I've got like just three more slides. I won't say so much. But my experience in Cuba, from going to the conference in Leuven, then I got an invitation to come and speak at this conference in Cuba where the leptospirosis study was done. I was able to see how the Cuban government regulated homeopathy. And it started at the level of the government, and they oversaw the education, they oversaw the research, they oversaw the application of homeopathy in all the different provinces. And when they had the leptospirosis, within 2 weeks, they were able to make the remedies and disseminate them around the country, and the chain of command to the farmers in the field with their cups of cane sugar that were anointed with the remedy, it was a seamless experience of the application of homeopathy on the ground level. And I was very inspired by that, and it was that inspiration that led me to the creation of this document, Hierarchy of Implementation of Homeopathy into a Nation's Healthcare System. And this has just been, there's a lot of bureaucracy in ICH, and a bit like Babar the elephant, they always have these committees and not a lot of stuff happens. So by the time when I first created the document in 2012 to now, this year was the first time it was shared with all ICH members. But anyways, and I'm just going to jump to, I've got a screenshot of what the document looks like. So I've taken the hierarchy, like I just said, and then retrieved documents that have already been created by organizations around the world and put them on this document in a PDF format. So here's the NANI. They're guidelines for homeopathic proving safety. So these documents, I already mentioned those in the presentation so far. Anyway, so this document goes down from international to national to education to legal issues to relief organizations, different, and then also shows places where we don't have a document. Nobody around the world yet has created a document about, for instance, how homeopaths can go into emergency relief organizations as an NGO, because it hasn't happened. Like in the Ebola epidemic, you know, there was no way for that to happen for homeopaths to show up there. Anyways, and as new documents are made, they're to be put on this form. So the second petition I made to the ICH was to create a pro-homeoprophylaxis position statement, partly because of my work with Free and Healthy Children, which is the promotion of homeoprophylaxis, but two, because those people in Australia put out a fact sheet on homeoprophylaxis because of all the persecution the Australian Society of Homeopaths and the Society of Homeopaths in England said, best not to do homeoprophylaxis, best to tell your patients to do vaccines, because they were afraid of being persecuted. So then this fact statement that was put out by the anti-homeopathy people said, look, see, even your homeopathic organizations don't think that you should use homeoprophylaxis. And my answer to that was, to get out of the fear of prosecution, the ICH, there's nothing we can lose by making a pro-homeoprophylaxis statement, and by so in so doing, we actually would create the avenue for homeoprophylaxis to be able to be incorporated in other countries yet. So I was put forth and voted on as a round table. Everybody there had an opportunity to say what they thought, and right now nothing's happening. The reason being because ICH needs to be set in order. Two, there needs to be a protocol on how to put a proposal forward and deliberate and accomplish that. Oops. Two, we needed to differentiate between internal and external communications. Like, could we? So there needs to be a document created on that so that we could say, okay, this is for internal and that's for external. Then it's too early to make a position statement because the ICH needs more research. There's debate amongst homeopaths whether homeoprophylaxis actually is homeopathy. And then to develop a model of how to present a position statement. So all of these things look like about 10 years of work before any kind of statement could be put forth. So just right now we're in just limbo, and we'll see what happens. So I guess we'll open it up for questions. You want to unmute?
Yeah.
Everybody?
You can unmute yourself. I'm afraid that if I do unmute everyone, we'll have echoing.
Then maybe you should mute.
I don't know if I can mute myself.
There's a little microphone. You can cover that. So, talk a bit about World Homeopathy Awareness Week and how it fits in. So that has actually gone on just sort of on the sidelines of anything that ICH does. Christina, who is now the secretary for ICH, she used to run World Homeopathy Awareness Week or be behind that a lot. I know a lot of countries have their annual conference right around the same time, like we do here in the U.S. But there's really no overlap of ICH with WHAW. Does anybody else have questions or comments? And
I'm going to try to unmute everyone. Let's see what happens. Okay.
Everybody's so quiet.
I'm going to stop the recording, but so I don't get too long. But
Gordon, you have a question?
I'm not exactly on what she's presented, but I was going to ask if she would be kind enough to help us in Canada with the organization we're trying to do.
Which state, which province are you from?
I'm in Ontario, but we're trying to do a national organization from here.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I don't know what to say about that. I mean, there's the West Coast Society, the Canadian Society,
Society. We want to bring them all together. We want to bring them all together under one umbrella.
Yeah. How to do that?
No, we already got it in play. I just wondered if you'd have any interest in helping us.
Myself, I don't think I have time. I run in the organization of Free and Healthy Children International. If anything, let me see. Is anybody a member of the ICH? Because Lauren, why don't you get my email and I can share with you that document, which has all the documents at all the different levels.
That would be wonderful.
Okay, we'll start there.
Okay, thank you for your time.
Yep. And somebody said they want to
turn the recording off so that we don't get too long, but we can continue chatting.